Shalom, shalom, and shalom to the bride of Christ. God bless you wherever you are. This is Bride TV, a timely technology for a time like this. And you are joining us on Rapture Watch once again today, where we'll watch and prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus. I'm Bro Olumide Jesus David, and as usual, we have with us in the studio the overseer of the Bride Assembly Lagos Church, none else than our beloved pastor, Brother Moses Alu. Shalom, sir.
Shalom, Brother Olumide. And shalom to the Bright TV crew who have made sacrifice to be here at this hour of the day. Shalom to our sponsors.
Amen.
Who have decided to support the ministry to keep us on air, to preach the gospel. You are blessed.
Amen.
Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. And shalom to our viewers and wherever you are around the world. This is a program put together to help us watch towards the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, there are many voices in the land, but certainly there is the voice of God.
Amen.
And the voice of God is the voice of truth.
Amen.
And we are with that voice.
Amen.
Proclaiming the truth, the present truth.
Hallelujah.
And I pray that God will cause us to say something today that will be of blessing to you and help you understand this mystery of salvation, the divine agenda of God to restore us back to what he intended it to be in the Garden of Eden before that serpent came and scattered it, before the fall of man. Stay tuned, and I believe you will not regret this moment you will spend being part of this program today. Shalom.
Thank you so very much, sir. The voice of God is the voice of truth, and we're here to proclaim the present truth. And today we have an interesting topic, which should serve as a foundational topic to our knowledge of Christ. But we discover in this generation, many of us think we know, but we don't actually know. So that's why we have with us a Bible teacher that would put us aright. And our topic on this episode of Rapture Watch is very interesting. It says, the works of grace. The works of grace. Let's not forget the scripture in Ephesians 2 verse 8 that says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. By grace are we saved through faith. So we want to understand this, the works of grace. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll begin to have this interesting discussion with our pastor. Stay tuned to the end of this broadcast and you'll be richly blessed. We'll be right back. Welcome back. The works of grace. I know that the Lord will bless us today with abundance of revelation. So stay tuned till the end of this broadcast, because I know you'll be richly blessed. Sir, let me start from the basics. How do you, Pastor Moses, define grace?
I define grace. Grace is an unmerited favor. Now, we're looking at the grace that brings us salvation.
Salvation, amen.
You know, I've always emphasized this.
That's right.
Grace generally is a God-given ability. Now, why do we call it grace? Because it is not of works. It is not you
doing it.
It's a divine enablement that you know this is not you, this is not man. It just gives you that divine enablement. People who don't know God, therefore, cannot give glory to him. They have terminologies like you are skillful. You know,
okay.
In English language, yeah, they say you have skill. What they are trying to tell is that you didn't learn it. You know, but we Christians, we know better that anything I didn't learn, anything I did not acquire by my strength, certainly is God-given.
Amen.
And it is called grace.
Amen.
But when it comes to grace for salvation, you know, which is what we're talking about, because we're talking about the rapture, which we are talking about homegoing, we're talking about salvation. There is the grace for salvation. And the grace for salvation is the suggested that God by himself comes down and takes you through the process that you will be saved from the destruction that is coming upon this world. And it is called grace because it is not your work, it is him by himself. As we see where you pick your text from Ephesians chapter 2, let's read it from verse 8 to verse 10.
Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 8.
Yes.
For by grace are ye saved through faith.
Yes.
And that not of yourselves. Mm-hmm. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
So that you, there's no boasting there. Yes.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works,
yes,
which God had before ordained that we should walk in them.
That is my definition and understanding of grace.
God by himself takes you through the process of salvation.
Exactly.
Mm. Wow. So from what you say, salvation is a process, eh? That's for another that's for another discussion.
Taking
some other
you through
time.
By himself. Mm. By himself.
By himself.
That is the grace.
Thing. Yes. It was when I came to this ministry, I became familiar with this terminology. The works of grace. The works of grace. The works of grace. So I want to ask you today, sir. How do you define, what are the works of grace and how do you define them? How do you define the works of grace?
First and foremost, we pick the, you say it was when you came to this ministry,
yes,
that
sir,
you had the terminology.
Yes, sir.
It's because you were not reading your Bible well.
Mm.
You see, there are scriptures that you just gloss over and you don't even catch the fact that some things are there. Just like somebody saying there's no rapture in the Bible.
Mm.
What is the definition of rapture? You know.
Mm.
Now go back to where we just read in Ephesians chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Verse 8 again.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves.
Uh-huh.
It is the gift of God.
Now, the next verse.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Okay, then the next verse.
For we are his workmanship.
Again.
For we are his workmanship.
We are his what?
Workmanship.
Workmanship. Work,
yes,
of grace.
Mm.
First he said we are saved by grace.
Mm.
Then he's saying that we are his workmanship.
Mm.
So if he were his workmanship, that means there are the works of grace.
Mm.
The grace is done by a work of God, by God himself. That is why I say, yes, there is the works of grace.
Mm. Okay, I'm not yet clear, sir. Is it God that is doing the works?
He is the one doing it.
Hmm.
He is that is why, again, read it again.
For we are his workmanship.
No, go to verse 8 again and 9 and 10. These two, three verses.
Hmm.
Verse 8.
For by grace are ye saved through faith.
Uh-huh.
And that not of yourselves.
It is not of yourself, but who?
It is the gift of God.
It is the gift of God. It's an enablement by God.
Not of works.
So it's not by your effort.
Lest any man should boast.
Any man should boast. See who does it, verse 10.
For we are his workmanship.
He is the one that does it, not you. That's why it is his, the works of grace. And this is, you know, that is why Apostle Paul in Philippians 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13.
Yes, sir. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you.
Can you see the works of grace?
Mm.
Can you see the works of grace?
Hey.
It is God which does what?
Which worketh in you.
Worketh in you.
Both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Mm. Hallelujah. Wow. So you've just rearranged my understanding of several things now. So God is the one that is doing these works. And they are called the works of grace.
They are called the works of grace. The works of grace. Yes.
So
and we are saved. We are saved by grace.
Yes, sir.
Through faith. I don't know the next question you want to ask, but this statement is very instructive.
Yes, sir. I wanted to go further in this definition. These works of grace, are they like steps in grace, or how do you define them?
Sure. It's from one step, you move to the other. The first step enables you to move to the second step. The next walk positions you for the next stage, like that,
so,
until we
so,
are.
So if I say that grace has grades.
No.
Am I wrong?
No, not the grade.
Or levels.
Not even levels. I think the right terminology is process.
Process.
I think it's a process.
Grace has process.
Yes. before this paper was became this, it's not level. It did not go through level. It went through process.
Okay, okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So these works of grace are processes of
process.
Grace.
And this book can never be, the production is not, you can't produce it until the process is completed.
Mm.
Until the process is completed, you don't have a book.
Okay, so the process.
Until the process is completed, you are not saved.
Mm. So there are processes that grace takes you through.
To be saved.
Why I'm digging for that is I want to have a definition of what the works of grace are.
Yes, go ahead.
So there are processes that grace takes you through.
Exactly.
To be saved.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
This is the first time I'm getting this definition. There are processes that grace takes you through to be saved.
Sure.
Thank you so much, sir. So how many of these processes do we have? Or how many works of grace do we have?
Four.
Especially in this generation.
Four. You must go through these four processes.
Wow. Four processes.
Four processes.
And these four, sir. So now you're saying we have four works of grace.
Yes.
Four processes. Four works of grace.
Yes.
Not three as we used to say.
Mm-mm.
So we have four works of grace, sir. But a follow-up question, sir, please. Mm. Are these four all necessary for salvation?
That's the reason recently I took a teaching on falling from grace. I mentioned something about that you can fall from grace.
Yes, sir.
You can't. You can't bypass any process to get this perfect job.
That's true.
Because it is ordained by the discoverer or the inventor, the one they discover how to make paper. Before, you are only seeing this finished work. But you don't know the processes it underwent. And if it did not go through that process, we won't have a perfect work.
Mm.
Now, finally, this process is completed, and you say, this is a paper. And so also with salvation, you are sealed. The sealing is the completion of the process.
Wow. So these four are necessary. These four works of grace are necessary.
You can't dodge it.
Ah, wow. Okay. So, sir, tell us about these four, sir. What are they? And how do you define them?
Now, the first stage of this process, which is the first walk.
Yes, sir.
And it is all this by God Himself. Mm. It is, the first one is revelation.
Revelation.
So, otherwise known as faith.
Faith.
Mm. Otherwise known as faith.
Mm.
Faith in the usage there is revelationary knowledge. You see, and it is God that causes you to know it.
Okay, it's not.
Now, let me give you an example. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4.
Yes.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
Now, the faith there, from the context used there, is revelation.
Mm.
Which revelation did Abel have that Cain didn't have? It's a revelation that of the acceptable sacrifice.
Mm.
And this lets us know that there are many people that are serving God, but you cannot serve God acceptably because you are not doing it by revelation.
Mm.
Now, Apostle Paul made this clear in Romans chapter 10.
Mm.
In Romans chapter 10, concerning
Israel.
Israel. Now, from verse 1, maybe up to verse 4.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israelis, that they might be saved.
That they might be saved. Go ahead.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God.
You see, they have a zeal to serve God. Zeal to serve God.
But not according to knowledge.
And this knowledge is revelation.
Hmm.
This knowledge is revelation. And what did he say?
For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness.
Now, they are ignorant of God's own way of doing things to please him. Acceptable worship of God, service of God. What did they do?
Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of
they
God.
They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Instead, they hew to themselves their own self-righteousness.
Going about to establish their own righteousness.
Their own. That was the difference between Cain and Abel. Verse 2 again.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God.
They have a zeal of God.
But not according to knowledge.
Now, not according to knowledge. The knowledge, I repeat, is faith. And what does Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 say?
But without faith, it is impossible to please him.
It is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith cometh by where?
By hearing.
Hearing what?
The word of God.
Hearing the word of God. God himself has to let you know that. You have to hear directly from him to be able to have revelation.
Wow.
So, what was the revelation that Abel had? That without the shedding of blood,
there's no remission.
There is no remission of sins. You see, how to walk with God. Concerning prosperity, it was by revelation. Abraham was not under the law. Nobody wrote any law for him. But how did he know that he had to pay tithe to a high priest? Once he knew that he was a priest of God. It's by revelation. It was not under, no man told him that. That is what I'm saying. So that is the first stage. It is, you know, revelation. Revelation. And Christ made mention of this, you know, emphasized this so much. If you go to Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16.
Yes, sir.
If you read it from verse 13.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi,
he
asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?
Who?
And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.
You see now, everybody was had their interpretation of who Jesus is.
He said unto them, but whom say ye that
you
I am?
You that have been following me, who do you say I am?
And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
He made it, and verse 17 is my emphasis.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah.
You are blessed. You are blessed that you know that I am Christ, the Son of the living God. Why is he blessed?
For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
You can, no man can give you this revelation. Only God. Only God can give you this revelation. Why did he say so? Now, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 22.
Amen. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is.
Before I'll tell you who the Father, who the Son, let's take a technical break. You know, you say no man knows, but I'll tell you that you can know.
All right, we'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned. Welcome back. So, sir, Matthew 16, verse 17, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you.
Yeah, because we're looking at the first work of grace.
Yes, sir.
The first work of grace, I say, is a revelation.
Yes, sir.
It begins with revelation. Faith.
Amen.
And this faith coming by hearing.
Hallelujah.
And hearing something from God.
Amen.
And it is what you hear that you begin to act on. And I mean, you respond appropriately. Now, I'll prove it.
Okay.
We saw where Jesus Christ, now in Matthew 11 and verse 17, where he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Peter, that I am Christ, the
Matthew
Son of the living God. Matthew 16, 17.
Yes, sir.
But my Father which is in heaven. Why did he say so? In Luke chapter 10 and verse 22, what did he say?
Okay. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father.
Can you see now? Nobody knows who the Son is but the Father. That is why he told him that
it is the Father that revealed who I am to you.
It is the Father that revealed who I am. And also, even knowing Jesus.
And who the Father is but the Son. Yes. And he to whom the Son will reveal him.
And nobody knows who the Father of the Son is. You cannot just know who the Father of the Son is until the Son himself
will reveal him to
will reveal to you who his Father is.
This is serious.
Everybody will just say, God is his Father now. Then why is Jesus saying like that? If it is just God is his Father. Then he added in verse 18 of Matthew 16.
Matthew 16 verse 18.
Yes.
It says, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Which rock? It's a revelational knowledge of who Jesus is, because that's the foundation of the faith.
Hallelujah.
It's the revelational knowledge. You know, now, so, you now, by this scripture, let's you see the mystery of salvation. Now, in Matthew 11, 28,
yes, sir.
Well, it's a Bible study, so that's what we're reading, but these are common scriptures.
Come unto me, all ye that labor.
Who is the person speaking?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
What did he say?
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But in John again, chapter 6, see what he said in verse 35. What did he say?
And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never
thirst. Verse 37.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
All that the Father giveth him shall come to him.
And him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast
out. Why did he say all that the Father giveth him? Go to verse 44.
No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him.
That is why he said all that the Father giveth, because it is the Father that will draw
you to him.
And how does he draw you to him? By revealing who Jesus is to you. So you understand now. By revealing who Jesus Christ is.
Wow. Is that what it says in verse 45? That and they shall be...
And that is where I'm going now. Okay. Verse 45.
Okay, John 6, 45. Yes. It is written in the prophets.
Yes.
And they shall be all taught of God.
That is hearing from God.
Every man therefore that hath heard
and learned of the Father
cometh unto
me. Before you know him, the Father had to tell. So salvation begins from this revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That is why verse 65...
Verse 65.
Yes.
And he said, therefore said I unto you,
you see,
that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him.
How is it given to him by the Father? Revelation. That's why you hear, he has ear to hear. So that is why he said it begins with revelation.
So the first work of grace is revelation.
That you will hear something from God, which other people will not hear. He doesn't tell everybody. He does. It's not everybody that gives this revelation to. But that is another matter again.
Can you give an instance, maybe in the Old Testament, of this scenario?
Now, okay. We talk of faith. The first one, remember, I say it is grace that bringeth salvation.
Yes, sir.
So we are talking about the grace that will save you. He said, go and preach the gospel. Say something. He that believeth what you say shall be saved. Saved from what? From the destruction that is coming. Because you have to hear the gospel first. When you hear and you respond appropriately, then you position yourself to be saved. Now we look at Noah.
Noah. Okay, sir.
Genesis chapter 6.
Genesis chapter 6.
That is the first work of grace. Let's use Noah as an example. Maybe we'll use one or two characters.
Okay, sir.
In the Bible. For in the mouth of two or three,
the matter is established.
Verse 5, read it up to verse 8.
Genesis chapter 6 from verse 5.
Yes.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart.
Now, this is between God and himself.
And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created.
This is a decision that God made. Nobody knew that destruction is coming upon the earth.
Mm. Uh-huh. Whom I have created from the face of the earth,
yes,
both man and beast, mm-hmm, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air.
Uh-huh.
For it repented me that I have
God made. Regretted that he ever made them.
Mm.
Now see grace now.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Again.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
What is it that constituted that grace? Mm. It's verse 13.
And God said unto Noah.
Verse 13, yes.
The end of all flesh has come before
see
me.
See now, he is revealing something to Noah.
Hallelujah.
He is revealing something to Noah. Mm. Salvation begins from knowledge, revelation,
information,
that destruction is coming.
Amen.
So what did he say?
And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before
but
me.
But did other people know?
At all.
That is why he said, even the concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ,
right,
as it was in the days of Noah.
Hallelujah.
So also, so see, let's study Noah very well and understand these four works of grace.
Amen.
Four works of grace, you see it in Noah.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
The end of all flesh has come before me.
Yes.
For the earth is filled with violence through them.
Uh-huh.
And behold, I will destroy them with the earth.
Uh-huh.
Make thee an ark of gopher
wood. Now, before you go to verse 14, verse 13 is grace.
Hallelujah. Revelation.
He had knowledge that is going to destroy this earth. You see? Now, when you have knowledge that God is going to destroy this earth, the next thing is they were pricked in their heart and began to say, men and brethren, what shall we do? That thing that you will do is called righteousness. Now, what shall be done? Remember, it is grace and it is grace all through. Whatever is to be done will still be by God himself.
Another process.
Another process.
Of grace. Amen.
Of grace. So, amen. That is now. So, where do we go now? We are now going to justification. So, verse 14.
Verse 14.
Verse 21.
Okay. Make thee an ark of gopher wood.
Yes.
Rooms shall thou make in the ark.
Uh-huh.
And pitch it within and without with pitch.
Uh-huh.
And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of.
Uh-huh.
The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Uh-huh. The breadth of it 50 cubits. Uh-huh. And the height of it 30 cubits.
Uh-huh.
A window shall thou make to the ark.
Uh-huh.
And in a cubit shall thou finish it above.
And then he told him how he will make the ark. If you read on, read it up to verse 22. Then, listen. You know, verse 22. What did he say?
Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him.
That,
so did he.
Therefore, he was righteous. Because he obeyed. He was told what to do. And he did according to all that was told him. Not some and left some. It has to be exactly what he says you should do. Don't go with your own idea. That is the problem we have. Therefore, chapter 7.
No, Genesis 7, verse 1.
Yes.
And the Lord said unto Noah,
yes,
come thou and all thy house into the ark.
Uh-huh.
For thee have I seen righteous before me.
What made him righteous? He obeyed God. After he had revelation that there will be destruction, the part you have to play. That is what Apostle James was talking about, faith without works. Now, if you have had the knowledge and you don't do what you are told to do,
yes, sir,
how will you be saved? So, it is even grace, part of faith, that he will tell you what to do. Because if he doesn't reveal to you what to do, you'll be using your own idea. And it will not be counted for righteousness. And that is why, just because you obey, up to 2 Peter chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
You see, verse 4 and verse 5.
For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness.
Righteousness. What was the righteousness that he was preaching? Was Noah preaching that stop fornication?
No, sir.
Was Noah preaching that the woman don't wear trouser?
At all.
Was stop prostitution? Stop. No.
Amen.
What was it?
come into the ark.
Enter this ark of destruction. Glory be to God.
Amen.
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 Come into this ark. Come into this ark. Come into this ark. That is the process of justification.
Amen.
And we are justified. The stage of justification is that state that we respond. When we respond, the next work, which is the work of righteousness, is now you go through water baptism. And that is what Peter was trying to make us understand in 1 Peter chapter 3.
For Christ also,
verse 18,
as one suffered for sins,
yes,
the just for the unjust,
yes,
that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water.
What did he say?
The like figure, whereunto even baptism, doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh,
yes,
but the answer of a good conscience toward God.
The answer of a good conscience towards God.
By the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
That is justification. The answer of a good conscience. He obeyed and entered the ark. He obeyed and built the ark. He obeyed. That is a type of water baptism under grace.
Hallelujah.
That's what Peter is trying to explain there.
Yes, sir.
And for doing that, God counts it for righteousness.
Righteousness.
You know.
So in that story so far, sir, so we see the first work, revelation.
Yes.
And then we see the second one, which you call justification. Okay.
Yes. And then the third one now is sanctification.
Third work of grace,
yes.
Sanctification.
The third work of grace is sanctification. Sanctification is a purging process. You are cleaned, washed of all that stubbornness. You know, and that is where you see in Ezekiel chapter 36. From verse 24.
Ezekiel 36 from 24.
Yes.
For I will take you from among the Eden, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I speak
to you. He is the one doing it
too. God
come to me. He is the one doing it too. He will bring them by himself. And you know, this prophecy is for Israel natural.
Amen.
And you know how he brought them. It's very interesting. What did he say he will use? He said, you use the hunters and the fishers.
You
use the fishers first and the hunters.
That's right.
And the fishers were the Zionists. They go, So you see the two processes by which he uses to bring people in. The other one is to use hunters, point and kill. Frustration will drive his children to come and know him. So whichever way, whether you went through the prison yard or you went through frustrations in life in any means, through sickness, through anything at all, it is God bringing you. But you know, the end is what matters.
Hallelujah.
What? Where did you arrive? Salvation or not?
Amen.
Yes. So he brings them by himself. Verse 24 again.
For I will take you from among the Eden, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean.
You see. That is what water baptism justifies. When you answer and you come, then justification, the second stage, takes place. After that, now see sanctification.
Okay, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean.
Yes.
From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also.
See now, this is the purging now. The process of sanctification. You see, sanctification, what did he say?
A new heart also will I give you.
He will give you, he will do a process of changing your heart.
And a new spirit will I put within you.
Remember, it is a process of sanctification, is a process where he sets you apart. So, in setting you apart, there must be some form of conversion process taking place. So what the first thing he does?
A new heart also will I give you.
And what? So that you take away the stony heart.
Yes, sir. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh.
Look at the two things he does. He puts a, he gives you a new heart and a new spirit. That is the process of sanctification. Why? He wants to remove the old nature. A heart that is fleshy enough can break down and be obedient to God. A spirit that is your taste begin to change from those worldly music, from those worldly things you were used to when you were in the world. All of a sudden your taste changes and now you become more spiritual because there is a work that was done in your heart and in your spirit being. Then go on. After he has done that,
and I will put my spirit within you.
That is now the fourth work of grace.
Now,
which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He will now put his spirit
within
you, and what will happen?
And cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them.
That is when the work of your salvation is complete.
Okay.
That is, you see, I use Noah.
Yes, sir.
The same process you see with Lot.
Lot also.
Yeah, because Lot had revelational knowledge because the angel told him, you know, this city is going to be destroyed by fire. Others didn't know. That is grace.
Okay.
He knew that destruction is coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The rest are continuing with their homosexual activities, nightclubbing, and all the lifestyle they were undergoing. But there was a man that found favor before God, unmerited favor. And God told him something. He knew something that other people didn't know. And that knowledge went with an instruction. You see now?
Yes, sir.
He that believeth and is baptized, he said, get out of the city. That's the second stage. Get out of the city, and not only get out, don't look back. Don't look back. That is a process where God will let you know that all things are passed away. That is the sanctification process. And then the third stage, they went to the land of safety.
Hallelujah.
You see? The fourth stage, I mean, and which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let me add one more.
It's a beautiful type.
Let me add one more.
One more Israel. Example. Yes, sir.
Israel was to leave Egypt for the promised land. They went through these four stages also. First, they went with the word, the message. God told me that you should leave
Egypt.
With all whatever, there are various ways that God will use to convince you that it is God. And so all the signs and all the wonders and all everything, that is why he gave all these signs that followed them that believe. That will let the people know that there's something, what we are believing is real. Now they left Egypt. That was the revelation. But they have to pass through the Red Sea. And remember, we are justified through the blood. It is particularly called Red Sea. And when you enter the water baptism and come out, you enter that water under grace and you come out, all your sins are remitted. So whatever Satan is using to accuse you, he cannot see you anymore. That is what is tagged by the Red Sea that they went through.
Yes, sir.
And I must not forget something that's coming to my mind, but let me complete this. Then wilderness journey began. The wilderness journey is the sanctification process to remove all the cucumber and garlic
of Egypt
and all the idolatry of Egypt. It takes them so long. And when that is achieved, then they enter the promised land. You see the four works
of grace.
You see, and actually, grace, because that's why I said I forgot something. I was supposed to really define this coming to my mind very seriously. You know, when you say what is grace? Grace is an expression, is the expression of God's mercy. That is where I was supposed to start, actually.
The expression of God's mercy.
The expression of the mercy of God. Because mercy, God is a merciful God.
Amen.
It's part of his attributes. Because if you look at the scriptures, for instance, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." For God so loved the world. Verse 14, there he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
So he's telling you that, you know, you break the edge of the edge of protection around you. The Bible says, what will happen?
Serpent to strike.
You know, is that not what happened in the Garden of Eden?
Yes, sir.
They broke the edge of protection. Serpent entered and reduced Adam to what they were. Adam became helpless. But see the projection. Until he could not face God anymore, fellowship was disconnected, and God had to be looking for him. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Adam, where are thou? Had to be looking for somebody that he used to come and have fellowship with every day. And mercy projected. When Adam was, they say, I am naked, so I hid. He said, who told you are naked? It's a product of sin. But he's a merciful God.
Amen.
And a principle was ignited without the shedding of blood.
There's no remission of sins.
And so he had to catch an innocent animal.
Hallelujah.
And killed it. Shed that blood to be able to have a covering for Adam. But it was not a permanent covering.
Amen.
Oh, glory be
Hallelujah.
To God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so also in the wilderness journey, they were committing sin and serpents were biting them during the period of consecration, the sanctification. And what will happen? Moses went crying and God again projected the mercy and told him solution. And he said, raise up a serpent of brass, I mean, put it in a pole, lift it up, and anyone that will look at it, if the serpent bites you, if you can just come where that pole is and look at it, you will not die.
Hallelujah.
He says, so also mercy now. For God so loved the world.
Hallelujah.
That he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, let's read it, verse 16 and 17.
For God so loved the world,
yes,
that he gave his only begotten son,
yes,
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world.
It's not to condemn the world.
But that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned.
He's not condemned.
But he that believeth not is condemned already.
Why?
Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. And this is the condemnation. That light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light.
They will not like it.
Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
Now, the most important thing I'm bringing out here is that he did not come to condemn the world.
Amen.
You see, he came to show mercy.
An expression of God's
mercy. And like you see, if you don't believe you are condemned, this is the only reason why the world will be condemned. Because they rejected mercy.
Hallelujah. Rejecting power.
That is why the prophecy concerning Christ in Isaiah 53 verse 1. What did he say?
Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Now, who will catch this revelation? Who will catch this revelation? And one of the reasons you cannot catch this revelation is verse 2.
For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire.
That's why the connection. That's why the carpenter song. You are coming to say you are as a son of God. Leave us. And that is why Apostle Paul said, if the princes of this world had known who he was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Amen.
Mm. But now, you know, we are talking about mercy.
Yes, sir.
That is why in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, reading from verse 6 up to verse 11, I love the way Apostle Paul put it there.
For when we were yet without strength,
yes,
in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Uh-huh.
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die.
Uh-huh.
Yet for adventure, for a good man, some would even dare
to die. Verse 6 again.
For when we are yet without strength.
See where mercy comes in. See, we were already condemned. We're not waiting to be buried. Dead. Eh?
In due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
For the ungodly, not for the righteous.
Amen.
He didn't die for any angel.
Amen.
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 Okay, go ahead.
For scarcely for a righteous man we won't die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die.
Uh-huh.
But God commended his love
this
for us.
This is how he commended his love towards us.
In that, why
he commended his love. You see, verse 16 of John chapter 3, where we read, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But this is the import of it. Read this verse now.
But God commended his
love
towards us.
This is how he commended that love to us. We only know in verse 16 of John chapter 3 that he so loved that he gave. But this giving is now qualified so that you will understand mercy. That God commended his love to us. In that
while we were yet sinners.
While we were even there sinners.
Christ died for us.
Look at that. When you were smoking igbo, already Christ had paid the price.
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
You see? While you were drinking beer. Because when I look at your eyes, sometimes you are taking ogogoro before. You know, like adepts.
Mm.
You know, yeah. You see his eye, you know that he has chucked igbo before. You know, Justin, especially Justin. Sometimes you see his eye red. You know, while he was in that nonsense,
Christ died.
You know, it's exciting to see that.
Mm.
That's why he says such love, such wondrous love that God should love. A sinner, such as he came for the ungodly.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that is grace.
The expression
that
of
is grace.
Amen.
Please complete that statement.
Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Again, please. You see, grace that brings salvation. See it here in verse 9.
Much more then, being now justified.
When you are justified
by his blood.
By his blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary.
We shall be saved from wrath through him.
And it is identifying with that blood that the action of righteousness enter the water. Identify with it in water baptism. And come out. You stand before God justified. Now, you are not justified because you have stopped smoking. Now you are now justified so that you can go through the process of sanctification.
Amen.
Okay, now finish the reading, please.
For if when we were enemies,
uh-huh,
we were reconciled to God by the death of his son.
Uh-huh.
Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Verse 11.
And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Why? Because in John chapter 1 verse 29, John the Baptist introduced him. Behold,
the Lamb of God.
Glory be to God.
The next day, John said Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God,
yes,
which taketh away the sin of the world.
You see, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, he made a statement there.
Purge therefore the old leaven,
uh-huh,
that ye may be a new lump,
uh-huh,
as ye are unleavened.
Oh.
For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
So he referred to him as our Passover.
Amen.
Going back to Exodus chapter 12 about that Passover lamb.
Amen.
That saved the firstborn of Israel.
Israel. Hallelujah.
A projection of mercy.
Mm.
It is grace.
Amen.
That, you know, you have to catch that as the foundation.
Mm.
You know, it is God's mercy
being projected
that gives us grace.
Amen. Okay, let's take a little break to digest all these things you've said. And when we come back, we still have a few more questions to ask you. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back. We trust the Lord is blessing you richly with this interesting discussion, the works of grace. Now, from the teachings and discussion, from the talks of our pastor, words of our pastor, we now know we have four works of grace, not three as we used to teach. The first being revelation, then justification, followed by sanctification, and then the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which we also call glorification. Revelation, justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So please, if you've not updated your revelation, please update it now. The first is no longer justification, but revelation. Thank you so much, sir. This has richly, richly blessed me. But sir, you know something, in Matthew 13:33,
yes,
we always refer to that scripture, the woman, let me read it. Matthew 13:33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And in your teachings, you've taught us that those are the three works of grace that woman, the Catholic Church, corrupted. And then also, you've taught us the restoration move of God. But where does this first work of grace now come in?
Now, wait first. What did he say? What did he call it?
A parable.
Yes.
The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven.
Yes.
Which a woman took.
A woman. So, took what? Leaven.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
And eat in three measures of meal.
Now, we have a woman, we have leaven, and we have three measures of meal.
Till the whole was leavened.
Until the whole meal. The three measures of meal. Oh, glory be to God.
Amen.
Now, so, first, what is leaven? Leaven, we know, is another word for yeast.
Yes, sir.
That you put to bread. Mm-hmm. But remember that we are commanded after the Passover, after you have come out, to eat for 7 days.
Unleavened bread.
The unleavened bread must not be found. 7 days. Seven church ages.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
7 days for salvation. Seven.
Amen.
Now, so it is because it will, if you put it in the bread, after it stays for some time, it will corrupt the bread.
That's right.
And so it is like, and the three measures of meal are three works of grace. Now, which is justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, what is it? Wrong teaching. That is wrong, false doctrine. Now, catch it. That is, don't mix false errors with this truth. Don't bring them to the same place. Now, as he did that, I want you to catch something. Look at the parable in Matthew 13 from verse 24.
Okay, Matthew 13 from verse 24.
Yes.
Another parable put it forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat.
So you see now, already the good one was sown. And what is the interpretation? What is the interpretation of the seed that is sown?
The seed is the word of God.
It said what?
He that sowed the good seed is the son of man. The field is the word.
Okay.
The good seed are the children of the kingdom.
Now, hold on. Mark chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
The parable of the sower again.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Okay. Mark 4 from verse 3.
Thank you.
Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow.
There went out a sower to sow.
As he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came.
Now go to verse 13 and verse 14.
And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know parables? The sower soweth the word.
He soweth the word. That means they have already had, that is the first work of grace. You have already heard. You have, so you are already partaker of the first work of grace. You have heard. Now let's go back a little bit to the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Now, Adam and Eve heard something from God. They already had the secret of life. They had the secret of life.
Amen.
Eat here, don't eat here.
Hallelujah.
Eat here, don't eat here. So the word of God, faith coming by hearing, they had already heard the word of God. So, but it was after they have heard the word of God, the enemy came again. Now, after they have heard the word of God, the enemy remembered that he is to Antichrist is to go after the heel of the seed of the woman. And that church there, of course, is a religious system. And history tells us who they are, you know. And now, so but after this three works of grace that you see, that Christ was given an example in verse 33 of Matthew 13, is now the next three after you have had the first one.
So it's for believers.
It is for believers because Satan is after you so that you don't get to your final destination.
It's for the church.
So he took it so that you will not be justified. So that although you have had, you will not be sanctified and you will not receive eternal life.
Okay, so he's trying to corrupt the other.
So he corrupted. He actually corrupted it. But unknown to him, God allowed it for a purpose.
She actually, unknown to her. She's a
woman. The woman, well, there will not be spirit behind her.
Amen.
It's Lucifer.
Amen.
It's Satan.
Okay.
Okay. So the woman is a seed of this happened.
Yes, sir. But if I understand you very well, just to cross-check my understanding of what you're saying.
Yes.
So this parable is for those that are already in the church
who have already had and came out ready to serve God, but Satan. That is why God, Apostle Paul, Galatians chapter 1, if anyone preaches any let him be accursed. It's very painful that people have had the gospel, they want to serve God, then they land in the hand of Satan so that they will never reach their destination.
Okay.
For total salvation.
What if I bring in this scenario? God has already shown Noah that there'll be destruction.
Exactly.
And then God has showed him the way out.
Yes.
Then a serpent should come and tell
Noah,
"No,
don't build the ark like this."
Okay, so that's the picture we see.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that he will not be saved.
So that will not be saved.
Yes.
So it does not. So the teachings we've been teaching about this is not wrong.
So that you will now understand the parable of that same chapter 4 from verse 26. Now it gives a picture of the growth of the church.
Okay, Mark 4 from verse 26.
So yes.
And he said, "So is the kingdom of God.
Yes.
As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear. After that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come.
So you can see the stages of that restoration.
Yes, sir.
You see?
Yes, sir.
That is where we now see the that before Christ will come, because this rapture watch, there is a shout.
Amen.
And that is, you know, where we have used this program, we have tied all these, you know, to understand. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, the coming of the Lord begins with a shout,
amen,
which is the midnight cry. At midnight, verse 6 of Matthew 25, there was a cry made.
The bridegroom cometh.
Go ye out to meet him.
Yes,
why midnight? Because it fulfills the third seal,
amen,
that has the black horse in Revelation chapter 6.
Amen.
And it says it is during the dark ages that the darkest hour of Christianity, that the shout
went out,
the ministry.
Hallelujah.
And then, these three works that were destroyed begins, you know, to come up. Remember that the truth was already there.
Amen.
So we have Luther that restored the next work of grace, which is justification. That was his message to the church.
Amen.
And then he moved on to sanctification. Amen. John Wesley.
Amen.
Let me call it the third work of grace that was destroyed.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now then, you know, well, we're talking of the three measures of grace. So
three
the first measure, the second measure, not the first works.
Yes, sir.
That we have to use our language now.
Yes, sir.
The first
measure
and the second measure, sanctification. The
third measure.
The third measure that was destroyed is now baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And God used a black man.
Hallelujah.
By the name
William Seymour.
William Seymour.
Amen. And,
but when all this come together, because of the process of time and all the confusion by that same old serpent, with the spirit of error within the church, the restoration, he knows how to do it, and still people run off with this, reject this, accept this, then he raised up the fruit-bearing ministry.
Amen.
For perfection.
Hallelujah.
And he used a man again in this age by the name of William Marion Braham.
Amen and amen.
Greatly misunderstood, but those he was sent to people like us.
Hallelujah.
We know who he is and we know where to place him.
Amen.
And that is where we are today, ready to be perfected for home going.
Amen. Wow. Thank you so much, sir. So three measures of meal, four works of grace.
Yes.
Amen. But the three measures of meal are the other processes, other works of grace, other than the first, which is revelation.
Exactly.
And the four works of grace are revelation. And sir, we always say baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is it not glorification?
That is the growth. That is what Apostle Paul spoke about in Romans chapter 8.
Yes, sir. So that we can also use
so that the same term. So that you can see the four works of grace there. You will see the four works of grace, even in Romans 8. Thank you for asking that question.
Yes, sir.
Romans chapter 8. Now watch it. The way he put it, then you pick this picture from there, from verse 28.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Uh-huh.
To them who are the called according to his purpose.
Now, when did he call them? Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden.
And I will give
that is, you will hear something. That
revelation.
Is the first work of grace.
Hallelujah.
Now, go on.
For whom he did foreknow.
Yeah, through foreknowledge.
He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
Uh-huh.
That he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Uh-huh.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Okay, that is the first work of grace.
And whom he called, them he also justified.
Now he justified, second work of
grace. And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Now the process of glorification includes sanctification. That cleanses you and then his spirit dwells there.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the four works of grace are revelation, justification, sanctification, and glorification.
Which is the baptism
which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
The Spirit of God coming to dwell in you.
Yes,
and
sir.
The process of redemption is complete.
So
we are only waiting for the day he will come and take us. But before we go, there is a father-son relationship.
Amen.
For whom he loves,
he chastens.
To keep you in line.
Amen.
Because there's nothing more he can do. You receive the
the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
You receive eternal life by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you are not born again. Born again is that the complete process of salvation, you have gone through it.
Amen.
So don't say you came to the church, I gave my life to Christ, and because one blind preacher say pronounce you, now you are born again. So you are born again. You better correct that now. And there's a song, they say, there is honey in the rock, my brother. Say, he said, lay your soul for the plateau cover. There is honey in the rock for you.
Amen.
You know, you have to. Well, after you have had, you have come out, you have given your life to Christ, then the process proper begins. You will go through water baptism, and all the yama yama in your life will go, and it goes through the sermons that we hear.
Amen.
We are washed by the water of the word.
That
is the sanctification process.
Mm.
Then he gives you the Holy Ghost.
At that point, you can say you
at
are
that point,
saved.
You are eternally saved. Once saved,
eternally
saved.
Wow, so this mystery of salvation is very interesting.
Very, very deep. Very, very deep.
Very deep.
Yes.
So it's until these four works are completed.
You are not saved yet.
You are not saved
yet. Yeah,
so not even when you come out and say, I've repented, I've been baptized in Jesus.
And let me correct this. Oh, but that day, the Spirit of God hit me. Let me correct it. The Spirit of God hit me and I began to see vision. And I began to lay hand on anybody, the person will receive healing. I began to prophesy. Something will come about, I began to prophesy. Hey, thank God I've received the Holy Ghost. Hey, wait. 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 Amen.
Amen.
There is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
When the process ends in a new spirit, Wait until he puts his spirit in you.
Amen.
He stands at the door and knock. How does he stand at the door and knock? Is that fire that comes upon you? Allow it to pierce your soul. If it doesn't enter your soul, that anointing to do a work in you, you may just be a vessel that he has found and he's using to heal, to prophesy, to see vision. So, and how will you know it? You will allow him to do the process of conversion. And it's simple. If a man be in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your life is a new life. All things become new. Your life now compared to what it was before, and it's not you that will be telling people, I'm a Christian, people will see you and they will know. Take time. If not, Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 4.
For it is impossible for those once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh.
So at that stage that you are seeing vision, you are doing this, this scripture let us know that you can still go back later to the world. Because the anchor, the ceiling is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. The anchor.
So you can still, you see, you know what an anchor is?
Yes, sir.
No matter what breeze, you know, no matter what breeze blow that ship, there is an anchor that will keep it.
Amen.
The breeze will go, it will draw you back.
Hallelujah.
You go back. That is why he said, he that is born of God doth not commit sins. Why? Because there is an anchor.
Amen.
The seed remaineth in you. What seed? The seed of the word of God that got you born again is inside of you.
Amen.
There is a walk that you can't go. You have no pleasure. You can't take pleasure in sin. You will run back to God. You see, that now, so that anchor, the songwriter said, I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll bring. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God.
Amen.
And so, when that anchor is there, you can't go. But the anchor is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, when you see yourself seeing vision, seeing this, prophesying, doing miracle signs and wonder, is to give you reason to allow him walk in you. So, if you don't, after seeing all this, you have the evidence of the word to call, evidence of the spirit, evidence of power, evidence of the reality of God, and you still go back to God because, I mean, to your vomit, it is because you know, you have had the greatest opportunity to be saved because you don't need someone for someone to tell you about the reality of God. You have seen it. He said, when such a person goes back, he said, it's impossible to renew that person. The reason is, what else will you use? But then there is a mystery to it. That's verse 7 and verse 8.
For the earth which drinketh in the rain.
You see, this when people come together, an anointing is coming. It is meant for the elect, the God chosen children of God. But what happened?
The earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. And it's nigh unto cursing.
So you can receive the anointing because the blessing, oh Baba, we are in your presence. Send out there, give me the power to do your will. Test that I see the planted there too on the ground. They are looking for rain, water to begin to manifest who they are. If you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, there is an anointing you are using, and then you are miracle signs and wonders are going on through you exactly as it is supposed to happen in the church and we see in the Bible, and you are still living like a devil, it is because you are a tear that was there. When rain was falling on the justified ones, because they have to be justified. They are now coming to receive life. And then you were there, so the rain fell on you because the Bible says, our Father sends down his rain both
on the good and the evil people.
So, but now he said, by their fruit you will know them.
Hallelujah.
So the ones that are supposed to bring forth fruit of righteousness. Evidence for a tree is known
by
its fruit. Who is in you, we will know by the life that you live. So now, if after all this anointing, you begin to live the same life that unbelievers live, in lying, in adultery, in fornication, in all the dirty things that are done in the world, he said, you will grow with the anointing, for he will not take the anointing. Because the rain has fallen, he doesn't take it back.
Hey.
But at the end, your end is what?
Whose end is to be burned?
With fire. Fire. While the rest will be packed to heaven.
Hallelujah. Thank you so very much, sir. Wow. The four works of grace. So please share this with your neighbors, share this with your friends, your brothers and sisters. Have you heard about the four works of grace? It's no longer three as we used to teach.
He say, are you in that number?
Amen.
Are you in that number? Saved by grace. I hope they understand it. I hope they understand
grace
it.
Grace has four processes.
It's not about speaking in tongues.
At all.
It's not by any man pronouncing you are born again. That's the greatest deceit that's going in Christianity. Say after me, have you said it? You are born again. Now you are a child of God. It's a deceit. Oh, it's deceit. You watching me now, give diligence to make your calling and election sure.
Amen.
How do you give diligence to make your calling and election sure? Yes, Apostle Paul says, walk out your salvation with what?
Fear
and trembling.
Amen.
It's so important that you don't get careless with your salvation. Make sure you have moved from one step to the other step, and the whole process, you have undergone the process. So make sure you live a humble life and live a life of, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. That's why he taught us how to pray. That statement, it says, not my will, because salvation is not of me, it's of God.
Amen.
So do it by yourself. Let me not have any part to play in it. I used to tell God, fulfill your purpose for revealing yourself to me. You know, there's a reason why God will reveal yourself to me. There is a reason. It's not to entertain me. Fulfill that purpose. Don't leave me, you know, in the wilderness. Make sure I enter the promised land. Now, this is what Apostle Paul said. You know, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because he who thinks he stands,
take it,
lest you fall, because you can fall from grace. You will move, you will not be able to move to the next stage. Therefore, you fall as they fell in the wilderness. It will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. It will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Revelation, justification, sanctification, and glorification. What process are you in right now? Yes. May the Lord complete these four processes in our lives. A big thank you to our pastor. Thank you so much, sir. We pray that more revelation and grace will be your portion.
Thank you.
If you have further questions about this topic, please ask the pastor. It's open. Send your questions and the pastor would answer. Big thank you once again, and keep watching The Bright TV. God bless you.